You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, there was no Thanksgiving arrest for Ashley Buzzard. She was spending it free, and God knows where her daughter is actually at, Melody Buzzard. But we now have firsthand accounts from the only person who's been inside that house since 9-year-old Melody Buzzard vanished. And what he says happened in there is so disturbing, so chaotic, so psychologically fractured that it changes the entire tone of the case. According to Tyler Brewer, Ashley Buzzard told him she handed Melody, her daughter, to a couple she met at a zoo. Strangers she couldn't name, couldn't call, couldn't locate. She said they kept changing meeting spots across multiple states because they were paranoid about being followed. Then moments later, she snapped. "How do you know I left her in Utah?" she said, her own story collapsing inside itself. He says she showed him a pillow dressed in Melody's hoodie and pants, surrounded by photos ripped from missing posters, a shrine to a missing child. He says she accused him of being undercover police, claimed her house was bugged, deleted her Amazon, bank, and email accounts, told him how to order fake license plate, and then joked, "At least I'm not out partying," when being compared to Casey Anthony. Her daughter is missing. This is the behavior she's been exhibiting. And the system apparently still can't intervene. So we're going to dig into this again and go straight to someone who knows exactly how investigators evaluate a story this fractured, this unstable, and this dangerous. Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us to help break all of this down. Jen, you know, when I heard that interview with Ashley Banfield the other day with Tyler, I thought, okay, maybe now, maybe they can go in and get an arrest after she has basically a pillow version of her daughter on the couch dressed in her clothing. Maybe someone could intervene. Apparently not. Let's start with that big one. When you hear the mother allegedly claiming she handed Melody to strangers she met at a zoo, with no names, no contact information, and constantly shifting drop-off points, how does law enforcement even begin to investigate a story like this?
Well, first of all, you have to evaluate the person giving you that information. And I have to say, Tyler seemed less than at his hearing, right? I mean, he really made it seem more pronounced than it was in terms of being in fear for his life, being locked behind the locks, you know, being held by a box cutter. His whole story pretty much broke down in large part because Ashley recorded the conversation. So I think you start there. You always start with who's giving you the information. Then you have to evaluate that information. The first thing I did when I heard about it was look for the closest zoo. And that zoo is that San Bernardino Zoo. It's about 60 miles from where they live, if this would even be the zoo that they were referring to. But no matter the zoo, there is footage. And I probably would, just in case this has any truth to it, try to get some footage from that time period at that zoo. But I got to tell you, nothing sounded real about that story.
Do we even know if she maybe thinks that that pillow creature on her couch is her daughter? I mean, I'm you know, taking a stretch here, but if she's claiming she dropped her daughter at a zoo with some other people and there's, you know, Melody's on the couch, maybe reality just doesn't exist for her.
Well, I'll agree with you there, Stacey. I mean, from the get-go, I truly believe this is a person who is out of touch with reality, for sure, in and out of touch with reality, and, you know, a beautiful mind situation. But I don't know. When I heard that recording of Ashley, she sounded like the sane one in the room.
Mm-hmm. And we can go back to the false imprisonment, which got thrown out. That's the claim that Tyler had made. And when we've heard that, I mean, he did ask to leave three times before she opened the door. In California, if you don't let the person out after one time, it's false imprisonment. The judge said, you know, we don't think this really was truly that. We don't think you felt intimidated. He still sticks to the story that she had a box cutter and that she refused to let him out, and that would have been false imprisonment. Maybe not to the point, you know, of where it was truly, was he in danger? Could he have not gotten out? But it was something. I am surprised that the judge did pull that back, considering that was the only thing that they had on her at the moment. I mean, why not? I mean, she did technically break the law. That was technically false imprisonment. And when you have nothing else to hold her back, do you think it was part of a strategy of, okay, let's not keep her locked away on this. Let's let her back out so we can see where she may lead us?
Well, I liked the strategy of getting her behind bars. I wanted to see a psych evaluation. She was in there for days, yeah. As it was. Did they do any psychological evaluation, and were meds administered, or was that even contemplated, or just she just sit in a jail cell, Tony? So you know, very concerned that there was this opportunity. And I was also very concerned when the judge early on said, we're not going to even consider the situation involving Melody when we're talking about bond. You know, that was a red flag to me where this judge's head was.
Why do you think that was? I mean, this is such a complex situation, but to pretend like there's not this other huge element of the missing child, which is a far more important aspect of this whole case versus the false imprisonment. I mean, I get, you know, you're looking at two totally different things and you have to rule on them different ways. But I mean, consider the circumstances. It's not like this wouldn't have been the first case where somebody gets checked for something else while they wait longer to file the charges on something greater, like the whatever happened to the daughter. Are you surprised that the judge was that disconnected from this, or do you think that there was some sort of strategy in this, or just this is just, you know, another mindless judge making mindless rulings?
You know, I think this judge had information. Probably, you know, the defense was ponying up. Listen, judge, we're going to, she recorded everything. And we know this is, you're not going to like this. And so I think that that was probably some consideration. Of course, he had that, you know, hearing right away. And that came out. It just looked so bad. I have to be honest. It made him look bad. But that doesn't mean that Ashley didn't say some of those things. It just doesn't mean that. And I think it's very plausible that she could have said a lot of those things.
How does that work for investigators? Because it was the claims are all over the board from the Zoo family. I mean, let's just start there, because when you're dealing with people who are delusional, there's usually some sort of nugget of reality within the storyline, not the whole thing, but there's usually something. So when you hear that she had this conversation with this family she met at a zoo, and she says in her mind that she has to go have this surgery. She's not going to be able to take care of her daughter. So naturally, in her mind, well, let's just go give my daughter to this lovely couple at the zoo. They have a child, too. They must like kids. And then gives her daughter to this couple, claims, at least according to Tyler, the claim is that they were going to have phone calls every day with Ashley and Melody while Melody's in their care. And that's never happened. It really makes me start to wonder a bit of how legit could this actually be in some way, shape, or form? Did she think that this was what was going on and that's the logical action to take? And then did she talk to the wrong people? Did she talk to people who have ill intent, who saw this as a not well person but wanted to take a kid? And it does make me wonder in a weird way of, you know, did she give her daughter to strangers, believing or thinking that this is how it's all going to work out, and inadvertently trafficked her daughter without even realizing it because she's just so not there? And now she has no idea where the kid is. And I wonder if there was a moment of realization there of her thinking, oh, shit. And I mean, that would be a tough one to wrap your mind around on a good day, not to mention someone as fragile as she is. If she has some sort of realization of, yeah, I just gave my kid to strangers and they're not calling me back, that would be a tough pill to swallow.
I think this zoo story is absolute BS. Mm-hmm. I don't find any part of it as being real. Grounded in reality. First of all, it would have had to happen on this trip, which we've already talked about. You can barely manage within the 3 days she was gone. Literally cannot manage it. They would have had the information from the car that she rented to show that it went there or didn't go there. So this is going to be so easy for the Bureau to work out whether she ever went to any zoo in Utah, any place else. I think it's going to end up being absolute baloney, but that doesn't mean it's not baloney up here.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I keep saying, anybody who doesn't understand this, please watch the movie A Beautiful Mind, based on reality, with Russell Crowe. It really gives, if any of you haven't had somebody in your close inner circle with these issues, it is amazing to see what their reality is. And it is so real to them.
That's what I'm wondering, because I mean, it when you hear the story, it's like, oh, I mean, this it sounds crazy. The decisions are horrible that she's making, if they're true, if it's what, you know, Tyler is describing, if this is how she said that she conducted herself. But it all lines up in a way of like, well, it's made sense to her. And here's how A plus B equals C. It's not a good way of getting to A plus B equals C, but it's how she got there in her mind. But what part of this is overlaying reality that is true? Because obviously she did go on that road trip. Her story says that it was moving from area to area. That's why she was so erratic, because the couple she was going to give the kids to wanted to keep moving the spot of where they were going to meet because they were paranoid about being followed too. It makes you wonder, did she meet another like-minded individual that was also paranoid and out there in their thinking? And was that part of the element? Or was she literally just driving random places because the voices were telling her to? Because these people were telling her to, but these were people that were only existing in her brain.
I picked the latter.
Yeah.
It was existing in her brain. But, you know, there's been something that has always bothered me. And that was that long, extensive road trip to Nebraska. A lot of people said, well, that's the hub of trafficking, you know, all the semis and everything that go through there, blah, blah, blah. I never thought this was a trafficking case. I still don't. I could be proven wrong to come. I really don't think that she would ever give up control of that child. That child is her whole world. And, but I always wondered, did she have another purpose? You know, was she being, so secretive in her actions, going there and changing plates and everything? In other words, could she have been going there for another reason, such as a delivery of something that would have been illegal? How was she getting her money? All of that, the Bureau and everybody needs to be looking into who funded that 10 grand, who funded her to be there, who paid for the U-Haul that came to the house, who's paying for her existence. Yeah. And what stops were there that were made in that area? And what has she done in the past? Because I understand that she's made trips like this before in the past. I'm just saying they really need to look at, was there a more pragmatic reason for her leaving and then coming back? And what happened to Melody at the end of that trip, which I just can barely hold out any hope that she's alive at this point, especially when we heard about the, you know, doll on the couch dressed like her. I mean, that's just so indicative of somebody who's killed a child.
Have you seen this in your work before? Anything like this?
Well, what I have seen in my work is people either doing one of two things. One, they erase all, you know, existence of them. That's why, to me, it was so important when they did that second search warrant. I wish I could have been, you know, a fly on the wall and seen, is her room erased?
Mm-hmm.
Often they erase everything, get rid of everything. The other thing is they set up these sort of shrines, you know, to mirror shrine. So I was curious as to if either of those, and if we're to believe Tyler, it looks like we might have one.
Yeah, I mean, you got the erasure is starting to go on. There's that U-Haul that she had the other day, and Tyler explained when asked why, you know, what is she taking out of this U-Haul? It's Melody's stuff. Basically, she's not going to need it. She's getting rid of all of her things, putting it in that U-Haul. She's got the shrine on the couch that doesn't, you know, speak well as to, you know, the whereabouts of Melody, of her being alive. Then you get into, okay, what happened here? If Melody is, you know, her world, do you think this was something, pure speculation here, we don't know what happened, but if we're speculating, it makes me wonder, was there some sort of horrible accident that took place? Was this intentional to get rid of Melody? And like I said, I go back to a little bit this idea of, were there some other people involved, and in her delusions, literally gave her daughter away to strangers? And unfortunately, that may be the best case scenario in this whole story, because it could show that maybe she's still alive. God knows with who, but I don't know that the other two scenarios lead to a living child.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the best case scenario, and it's not a good one, Tony.
Yeah. But
I also think it's not that probable. And the reason is, unless she just gave them to somebody out in the sticks that has no interaction with anyone, other people would notice that. You have a school-aged child that just all of a sudden shows up. And, you know, what individual is willing to kind of do that wouldn't be in the trafficking business? So then that way we circle back to the trafficking. I don't believe she wanted to get rid of her. hear me out on this thought, just thoughts on this that make sense. You're on this trip again, 3 days straight traveling. We don't know how much they were even eating. I mean, it is so stressful to drive 3,000 plus miles in such a short period of time. Everybody's tired. Ashley, I think being the driver would be completely stressed. And what kid after 1 hour doesn't say, "Mom, when are we getting there?
Are we there yet?" Yep.
You know, kids just, especially a nine-year-old, it would just be a very difficult amount of time for 20 plus hours, 30 hours, 40 hours to be in that car. Especially, we haven't heard anything about them lodging anywhere. So now they're sleeping in the car. It's cold. It's just the whole thing is really problematic. And you wonder if there weren't some sort of tension between mother and daughter at some point. And did that all blow up? There's a lot of possibilities.
Can we talk about the plate switching? Because, you know, we're sitting here saying, isn't there anything that we can do? And I mean, the collective we of the community here, but that's illegal. I mean, I was driving around with expired license tabs for a day and I was paranoid, like I'm going to get ticketed. You can't switch plates on a car. Couldn't they take her in for that? Or do you think there's something else going on that, we're going to leave that alone. We're going to leave that because we need to watch her out in the wild. Do you think there's anything that they could do with this?
I think, first of all, that would be such a weak charge. I can't even think of any federal charge that would involve tag switching in this particular set of circumstances. And you have now your interstate travel. So exactly when did the tag get switched? You know, all of that. I mean, it was a rental car. I don't know. I think that would be such a flimsy. I mean, I love what you're thinking, where you're going, you know, just like what they did with Brian Laundrie. They said, listen, he used her credit card illegally. Bam, we're going to charge him with bank fraud, you know, which is a federal violation that has, I believe, at least 10 years, depending on exactly the bank fraud charge. So they had some teeth with it, right? And I know what you're saying. What teeth would stick? Because if not, she's just going to be right back out and you've really done nothing. They need to get something that will stick with her. And, you know, I think watching her and what she's been doing, you know, the U-Haul, you know, this interface with Tyler, I think certainly it's going to help build their case, building block after building block when they do get her. In other words, now we know we have a witness that at least will testify likely as to what he saw. He's not going to change his testimony that he saw this shrine. We have the U-Haul that was rented. There's been various steps too of her. Did you see the medical taxi that showed up and, you know, took her for a time frame? I keep wondering, what was that medical taxi about? Is she getting medical help somewhere? Is she on lithium or some other, you know, strong drug to try to keep her grounded? Or is she completely in la-la land? Routine. We don't know.
And it makes me wonder a little bit too, because you have someone who has obviously, from what it appears, some paranoid delusions that are going on, to put it lightly. She has a history. It makes you wonder too, how much is this whole situation also verifying to her suspicions and her paranoia of people are watching me, I'm being followed. Because now she literally is. I mean, that's not a delusion anymore. She is being watched. She is being followed. See, everyone is paying attention to her. And if that's your paranoia to begin with, when no one is doing it and now everyone is doing it, that just reinforces that way of thinking even more, which it could result in her going further underground in her own sort of way, you know, or it may draw her out to try and escape. I don't know. I feel like we're just watching this injured animal in the wild right now. Like, go see if she finds her cubs. It's like, why? And we're just like, this is the only way we can do it. I don't know why this is the only way we can do this, but that's kind of what it feels like we're doing right now, is watching this injured animal.
That's an interesting analogy. as I've said from the top of this, I have never understood and I will never understand why a judge can't summons her to court, dependency court, to make her say, this is not, this is really the way it works. And I don't understand why it's not working this way. I don't know whether their docket is just so full of missing kids and parents that aren't answering about them that they don't have room for her on the docket. I don't understand why she isn't being called before court. And maybe she is, and we just don't know about it because dependency court, that's all secret whenever you're talking about a juvenile court, Tony. So, you know, it's possible some things are going on behind the scenes. I think the biggest thing going on is the FBI, and I say the FBI, not the local jurisdiction, not that they're not working their rear ends off, but the Bureau is handling everything in that 3,000-mile track, and that's when something happened. And so, you know, they're trying to recreate every single stop, and I think it's interesting. It's been at least 2 weeks now, I think, since we've had the Bureau come out and say, listen, here's another breadcrumb. Has anybody seen her here? Has anybody seen her there? So that tells me that when they're not reaching out, that they're getting their own answers, that they don't need the public's help right now because they are on the track.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that conversation that Tyler had the other day with Ashley really made, with Banfield, really made... it was just a litany of new pieces of new breadcrumbs that came out. You know, if we're to believe that they're true, I don't think we have any reason not to believe that he'd be telling the truth on these things of what was claimed. It's just, it's scary that that's the way that this information was gathered or you know, shared by this former friend of hers that happened to go in, happened to get this, and he happened to be able to reveal all this, that it wasn't law enforcement, it wasn't an investigator, it wasn't by force, it wasn't this or that, it was just kind of by happenstance that came out, and there's nothing that can be done apparently right now to force her hand anymore. But I think you're right, maybe there, and I think we got to hope that behind the scenes, they have more information, and maybe that they're on a path, and maybe disturbing Ashley Buzzard is not the way to get to wherever they're trying to get.
Well, and I wanted to make one point too about Tyler, and maybe that's why I have sort of this air of being, you know, disgusted with him coming forward. And Ashley Banfield does such a great job of, you know, investigative reporting and getting important witnesses to come on. But I tell you, as an investigator, as an agent, whenever I talk to witnesses that were important, and he was important in the, you know, the small case that got dismissed, and he's important in the bigger look of, and scheme of things. I always just said, please don't say anything. Please just right here, we're going to make a document of this. Please don't go into the public. Please don't talk to your friends and neighbors about what you have to say. And I'll tell you why. Exactly what we've seen play out with this guy. Remember, we have all of these instances where he was saying what happened. And then all of a sudden, we see in court that, well, he really could get out and she let him out. And the box cutter was on the ground, at least if you're to believe the photo that was taken. You know, stories then, and now you have a witness that could have been a very strong witness in your big case, now doesn't look like a strong witness because it's a he said, she said, and last time the go around went, it didn't work well. I'm disappointed that he came out when he could be a good witness.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, and I don't know the answer to this question, and maybe he addressed it in the interview. I don't recall. All the information that he relayed to Ashley Banfield the other day on her podcast and on her show, did he first go to law enforcement with this, or did this all just come out with Banfield in that conversation?
I strongly believe that he would have told law enforcement all of this, and that they know all of this, and they kept it under wraps. And I know, I can tell you as an agent, somebody working a case, a missing child case, you're just sitting back going, oh my God, can people just stop? Can we just keep the investigation integrity, you know, within the confines, other than when you need people to help you get information, you know. So I'm just disappointed in Tyler. I really am, as a witness. And he's discrediting himself, I think, because his story has changed somewhat. And that's disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, it. Unfortunately, when you have nothing, anything that comes along is going to be of consequence. And he seems to be the only whisperer we have to Ashley at the moment in time that that has any sort of information that's coming from her, and just makes it even more confusing than this case already is. Let's move on to another case that we've been covering and watching for quite some time. It's turned into another maze of contradictions. We have a young woman missing for over a year, found decomposed and partially dismembered, allegedly, in the front trunk of a Tesla belonging to artist David D4VD. We have early reporting talking about freezing and storage, and now the LAPD is trying to correct the record, saying her remains were not frozen when the car was opened. We have a sealed autopsy, a grand jury meeting behind closed doors, and still all these weeks later, nobody is in custody. So today, Jennifer Coffendaff, a retired FBI special agent, is joining us to break all of this down. When you saw just last week, a grand jury has been convened, allegedly, on this, what's your reaction to that?
Huge. This is such a huge piece of information, and this is why. There are multiple ways to charge an individual: via complaint, via criminal information, and via indictment. They have chose to go, if you will, the indictment route. Now, just because you have a grand jury doesn't mean this grand jury, despite what everybody says about ham sandwiches, it doesn't mean that they're going to indict. Sometimes they issue a true bill, sometimes a no bill, and sometimes it's never even brought to that question. The prosecutor just themselves says, okay, I don't really have enough here. And they're never asked to answer the question whether they've committed a crime or not. These grand juries, although if this was a specially appointed grand jury, would only be hearing this case. But if it's hearing more cases, you know, cases just keep coming in and keep coming in. They hear this bit for a half an hour and that bit for an half an hour. I don't know if people really understand how grand juries work. But nevertheless, the fact that they have decided to go the grand jury route and not go via a criminal complaint, that is big, or an information, considering that he's represented. So it tells me they just, the strength of their case, they're letting the grand jury ferret that out.
But do we know if this grand jury being convened has anything to do with potential charges against David? I mean, they could be against really anybody or anyone behind the scenes that we may know about or not know about as of right now. Could it not? I mean, David's name may not even be on their tongues when they're having these discussions.
Well, certainly it's a possibility, but, you know, I guess I've been pretty transparent that I think that David is involved in some way, shape, or form in this, mm-hmm. from all the information we have. I mean, and there's a lot of breadcrumbs that lead straight to David, but that doesn't mean others aren't involved. And I think it's very likely that one or more people are involved in this. I've said it from the beginning. This is just too huge of a crime, just the dismemberment of a body for mm-hmm. this little bitty 5'2" guy to perpetrate on his own that, you know, barely touches grass. I mean, his whole life is behind an internet computer.
Yeah.
If there's multiple people involved here, you know, you're talking about a conspiracy of some sort of group of people involved in hiding this body. Are you surprised that there has not been any sort of leakage of this yet, that there's not one person, if we are talking multiple people involved here, that not one has cracked as of yet, spoken up and said, you know, hey, here's what's going on? I would think there'd be some incentive as well right now. I'm a little bit surprised, unless maybe this is going on behind the scenes, that there hasn't been some encouragement of this. Of, if you know something about this, you know, let us go. Some sort of immunity deals maybe being cut for someone that can open up the floodgates on what the hell is actually going on here.
Well, two things to your question. First of all, number one, I am shocked we're not hearing more scuttle. You can take any other case we have, the, you know, Kepner case, the case we just discussed. There, any case in true crime right now, there's so much scuttle, scuttlebutt, rumors, you know, things that we hear. We are really hear very little on this case from his entourage, from his closest associates. And that to me is shocking if one of them is involved, unless one of them who is involved has lawyered up and is providing information to law enforcement and to this grand jury.
I was just going to say that. I wonder if somebody is listening to counsel for the first time ever, or somebody's actually listening to their attorney when they say, keep your yap shut. And maybe they are.
Well, David certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it not snitching?
You know? That's another big deal. You know, I will say this, in certain communities, like one of them is in the gang community. You know, for instance, I know you all know about the Stockton, you know, big shootout that took place and, you know, four dead, at least one was a child, maybe more, 11 others injured. It was just this huge gangland shooting, and two rappers, you know, I think were involved in that. But nevertheless, I bring this up because we, at least last I looked, there's still no suspect. You know, they're interviewing all these people, and it is so true in working gangs. Nobody knows anything. I'm telling you, they don't know. Oh, we didn't see that car. Oh, they walked in your front door without masks, and you didn't see. Nope, have no idea who they are. Can't describe it either. And that's because in the gang world, gangs take care of their own deals, right? The retaliation will follow because of this, big time. It's coming. But in this case, when you have this community of music, the music industry and the entertainment business and this subculture of a guy who literally, per his own admissions, his life was sort of these people, you know, on the internet in his, you know, small entourage. Maybe they keep quiet like gang members.
It makes you wonder, you know, of keeping this secret quiet as to where it is, you know, or is there more going on behind the scenes that we are just not aware of right now? That, I guess, time will tell on. The fact that the grand jury, they had convened one last week. How far out do you think it's going to be before we see charges against somebody or something happening here in terms of legal action? Obviously, it's illegal to have a body in the trunk of your car. That right there is a crime. Doesn't mean that David killed her or anything like that, but you own the car and there's a body in it. Charges would likely come at some point to some degree, I would think. Where do you think we are in anything like that taking place?
Well, when you look at that, right, it's really who had care, custody, and control of that vehicle that could be, that's the problem. And from what we know, the person who parked that car there was very describable. They weren't masked. They were in clothing that was very telling. And that was seen later, that person was seen later in that clothing. So it is no secret to law enforcement, in my opinion, who parked that car. They know that. And so from that standpoint, it is, riddle me this, why hasn't that person, woman, female, we don't know, male, been brought in? And I would say, we don't know that they haven't. And because just last week, all of that autopsy information, do you remember this? It's kind of funny because I looked and I saw that all of a sudden we couldn't see any information. I don't know if you saw this, and I posted that on Twitter. I was like, all of a sudden we can't see the information. And I said, I bet you they've pulled that down and sealed that, because that does happen. Then all of a sudden they pulled it down and sealed it. And I only bring this up to say, if they sealed that, everything is on lockdown. In other words, if there is what we call an information filed, because say somebody is cooperating and they have an attorney involved and they filed what we call a criminal information, that's where people are actually cooperating and it's just an attorney to the office, you know, the DA to that attorney, if something like that is was negotiated or was done, that's mm-hmm. going to be so sealed up so tight, we're going to have no idea it happened.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're also, the medical examiner, that information, we have the LAPD saying this, the medical examiner saying this, we're not saying this. When it comes to other areas of this case, the frozen aspect of it, frozen versus not frozen. There's been a lot of confusion there. A lot of reporting last week coming out saying that inside sources said that the body had been frozen. LAPD saying the body was not frozen when we found it. I'm curious as to where you stand on this, because we were talking about this last week off the air. We were texting about this. I feel like both can exist simultaneously. When I first heard, you know, the body was partially frozen, I didn't really think that they took it out of the frunk and it was still, you know, crispy like a turkey. I thought, oh, there's signs that it had been frozen. Like if you froze a strawberry and then take that out, you are going to like, oh, I can tell the difference between a fresh strawberry and a non-fresh one that's been frozen, even if they're both room temperature. It's just the crystallization and all that will expand and then will mess with the muscle and the tissue. Can the two be simultaneously true, where maybe she was frozen, but when she was found, obviously thawed out, was not at that moment? Is that really a contradictory thing that was reported, or is it just two people talking about two different moments in the history of that corpse?
You know, we did go back and forth about that because it made a lot of sense to me that if she really died sometime in the spring, which is what's being inferred here, and again, if we believe the PI, he said there's no pictures of her past the end of January or first, it's the first week of February. If you look at that, what did he do with that body, or what did they, whoever's involved in this, do with that body for that period of time? So it makes all the sense in the world to me that this body would have been frozen. Yeah. Something done to slow down decomposition to, you know, until you decided what you're going to do to it. And you and I talked about this a long time ago as well. It makes no sense to me that you're keeping a body around this amount of time, unless it's something much more sinister for why you're keeping it around, because you could throw it in the woods, you could throw it in the river, you could throw it in the ocean. There's a lot of places you can do. And if you're willing to cut up a body, which, again, I thought it was very interesting. The medical examiner said she wasn't decapitated and she wasn't frozen, but said nothing about whether she was cut up, you know, whether her limbs were removed or not. I thought that was a very interesting point that he, to me, purposefully did not make. And I got to tell you, Tony, these issues between the medical examiner's office and the law enforcement agency, the LAPD, really tease me off, because all of this gets in the way of justice for Celeste. It does. And the fact that they can't play in the sandbox together, there's so much wrong with that. I can't even say it. And TMZ doubled down, by the way,
that
the fingers were frozen and wrinkly, you know, like when you get out of pool and they're wrinkled up, and that the body was partially frozen when extracted. So they've doubled down on their claims.
Do we know who their source was?
No, but they say ME's office. Somebody quote close with ME. So they don't have the law enforcement source. They have the ME source. So you have basically, you see this breakdown, which my understanding were there were issues. And let's face it, law enforcement and ME's offices have issues a lot. Look at the Greenberg case. Look at the Karen Reed case. You know, there's so many cases, because a lot of times forensic examiners are, I'm coming from law enforcement. They're milquetoast. Half the time they just spew out a bunch of facts and won't come to a conclusion. And it's infuriating. You know, was this a homicide or was it an accident? And half the time you get undetermined. And that's if you're lucky. Look at Greenberg. She doesn't even get an undetermined. The bottom line is these instances occur so much more often than I think people realize. And we're seeing it play out right now from what I can tell.
How does it make any sense that she, if because I know TMZ is doubling down on this, that the fingers were frozen. How? I mean, that would mean that the body was not in that trunk very long. If it was still frozen in some way, shape or form, it wouldn't take long for a body to get fully thawed out in that kind of heat. Probably less than a day, I'm going to guess. I'm basing this on thawing turkeys. I mean, seriously. But that, I mean, it I can't imagine that body would still be frozen unless it just freshly was removed from a freezer and thrown into that trunk. But I guess, you know, there could be the possibility that there had been multiple movements of this body from trunk to freezer and freezer to frunk and frunk to freezer. I mean, it may not have just been, you know, this has been in this frunk for all that super long. I could see it, you know, well, let's move her here. Let's move her there. And maybe this was a moment of transition. I don't know.
See, that just doesn't make any sense to me from the photos we see of that vehicle, from the ticketing history on that vehicle, from the information from the cameras.
Yeah.
Were relayed to us from the PI. Purportedly, that car was parked on July 29th and was not moved again to September. And unless people went back and forth about every other day and put dry ice on that.
That's what I was going to say next. Like, do they dry ice the trunk? I mean, maybe. I don't.
And refresh, because they're dealing with heat. Going to last maybe 2 days.
Yeah.
And also just thinking about, you know, we just came off Thanksgiving. You think about your bird that you thaw out. Wouldn't the fingers probably de-thaw or thaw, I'm sort of faster than other parts of the body, because they're smaller, right? So that doesn't make any sense to me.
I would think if you're going to have any part that's still frozen, it would be like the cavity, you know, like the larger piece of, because it just like with cooking, it wherever, however deep you get, that's going to be more frozen if it's a solid freeze, or it takes it longer to cook if you're cooking something there too, because it's further into the cavity or the body of whatever it is we're talking about. In this case, it's a human being. It doesn't make any sense. There's no way that body was frozen if it'd been sitting in that frunk for all that time. It defies the laws of physics.
Well, and that's what the LAPD is saying. I mean, they were pretty forceful. Not decapitated, not frozen. And you know, here we are, as you know, in the true crime community, doing our best to try to make this case make any sort of sense. And it's not making any sense. I mean, are we to believe that literally the person in charge of the homicide and robbery unit at LAPD is just lying to us? I mean, that's a flat out lie. It's in quotes that is what he said. So either he's lying, or now, as you and I talked about this, Tony, we have a source that would have heard information from the ME's office, and then that source would have relayed it to TMZ, and then TMZ, and we all know what happens in the telephone game, even if it's just two layers. And he said he went back and double-checked, and that source said unequivocally, I think he said he quadrupled double down, or he said he quadrupled down, that's the facts. My whole thing is, how important is it? Let's really think about this. Is it how important to the investigation whether she was frozen, whether her fingers were wrinkled, or whether she wasn't? How important is that really? You know, it's a fact, and it's somewhat important, but I more want to know, what in the hell happened to that girl? How long has she been gone? And was she murdered? Was this an accident and a cover-up? I tell you, I say it's foul play. I'm 1,000% sure nobody covers up an accident by dismembering somebody, because I still think she was dismembered.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it speaks to the interpretation of the information of, you know, of how when you're playing the telephone game, that's why I think the two can coexist. I believe maybe someone said, yeah, it looks like there's signs that she was frozen. And somebody took that as she was frozen out of the trunk. Right. And no, maybe not. But there certainly would be signs. I don't know. I don't know how your fingers look after being frozen, thawed, and then in a trunk for weeks. If you'd still have that sort of, you know, pruning going on. I have no idea how that works, but I would imagine that there's something to do with the interpretation of the information that is inaccurate. And how important is it at the big picture of things? Probably not super, but it does speak to the covering up of a crime, if that's indeed what was going on here. The intention, the intent to maintain this corpse out of sight, out of mind of anyone else that would realize you're calling a corpse around. But at the end, does it matter? Other than that aspect, probably not much.
I just meant whether the finger, whether she had some signs of freezing when she was found, yeah, or whether she was just frozen throughout, you know, prior to that. I, you know, all I can tell you is this, is the LAPD isn't going to make that determination. The pathologist is, the ME's office is the one that is going to say,
yeah,
she was frozen or she wasn't. It's not going to be the PD.
No.
Because they're not the pathologists. They're not the doctors. And so ultimately, it's going to be what they say scientifically. But I still say, Tony, that body has got to go to a forensic anthropologist. I would think it's already there.
Yeah.
I hope so.
See the transfer.
Yeah.
That's just what you do.
That will be very telling once that information finally does come out, as we continue to wait and find out what those experts have to say. With everything being sealed right now, it may be some time, but who knows? There's a lot to this case and a lot of moving parts that keep changing by the day. We'll wrap that up there. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. As always, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insights into these very confusing cases. Your comments, we'd love to hear them. Go ahead, leave them on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That's where you'll find us, and you can weigh in on any of these cases. Be sure to press subscribe while you are there as well. Until next time, for Jennifer, Stacy, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.